Isn't that amazing? Prophesied the goodness, sung about the goodness, cried about the goodness of God. Amen. Moses' cry was, Lord, let me see your glory. He says in the book of Exodus, he says, my goodness, you shall see my goodness. So his glory is his goodness. God didn't make a mistake when Moses asked to see his glory. The waited, manifested presence and power of God. That's what glory means. The waited, manifested presence and the power of God. So when you want to see the glory of God, that's what you're asking for. The wholesomeness of God. And he takes us, hello, beautiful. He takes us, the baby I'm talking to. He takes us from a glory to a what? A glory. But to go to another level of glory, you must be in what? You've just said it. You go from a glory to a? To get to another level of glory, I must already be in what? Glory. I must be in some form of glory to get to a level of glory. Amen. It's not rocket science. And to get that level of glory, I have to be a son and daughter of God that's obedient. Amen. Anyway, I've got lots to share this morning, so please get ready. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Exodus 16 and 1. That's before I start. Father, I thank you for the power of your word this morning. Your word is life. Your word is deliverance. Your word is healing. Your word is truth. And the truth will make me free. Give me an ear to hear what your spirit is saying this morning. And Lord, help me change. Because you're a God who changes not. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a contention into the new of God. Who believes God wants us to move into something new? There's always a new in God. The problem is a lot of Christians are so vision-orientated they live in the future. And some people are so past-orientated they never see their now. Amen. But he is a now God. He is a now God that wants to do something new in your life to move you onto something called the glory of God. And he desires, in fact, the love of God compels me to keep moving in my thinking and growing in my experience and a fresh experience with God. It says in 16 and 1, it says, and they journeyed from Elim. This is the children of God in the wilderness. They've just come out. God had just shown them some miraculous stuff. He's parted the Red Sea on their behalf. He's killed the 600 choice captains and their chariots and their horsemen. Miriam got a song. The horses, they've been thrown into the sea. They're all happy clappy. In chapter 13, they were smashing high fives. By chapter 16, which is now you've got to get a grip of this. Less than 2 months after they've been delivered from Egypt. Less than 2 months. And they journeyed from Elim, and then all the congregation of the children of Israel came out of the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai on the 15th day of the second month. Do you remember God gave them a new beginning? This shall be your first day of the first month. Remember that? From the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of children of Israel. Isn't it amazing? You can see a miracle. You can experience the power of God. You can see a demonstration of the anointing of heaven. I mean, I've never seen the Swan River part. No, I haven't seen that. I've seen my bath part when I jump in it. But I've never seen the Swan River part. Amen? I've never seen the Swan River part. They didn't just see it part. They walked on dry ground. Then they looked back and beheld the deliverance of God. Then they had their happy time. Then within weeks, something happened. And they started to complain. against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And verse 3, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, that we sat by the posts of meat and we ate bread to the full. And you have brought us out into this to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Isn't it amazing? They actually forgot. They actually forgot where they came from. They forgot the benefits of the Lord so quickly. They thought the meat was on the posts, and one version says, and they had garlics and leeks and lentils flowing about. They forgot they were slaves. They forgot that they had to keep working until all the bricks had been finished. One actually said they fished. I don't know where they got that from, because in fact, they were given the scraps. They had an imagination that was running wild with them, and they were blaming for their lack. Oh, that we could be in Egypt, sat by the posts of meat, right? We ate bread to the full. And you brought us out. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain every day that I may test them. You need to underline that little bit there. That I may test them. Can you just go? Yeah, oh, that's good. That's good. Where to? Verse 4. That I may test them whether they walk in my law or not. Verse 5. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much gathered daily. In other words, on the Sabbath, get twice as much. No, the day before the Sabbath. And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the what? Glory of the Lord. He hears your complaints against the Lord. He hears what? What does God hear? He hears complaining. He actually hears it. His ear is attentive to it. Why is it so attentive to it? Because he hates it. Your complaints against the Lord, but what are we that you should complain against us? And Moses also said, this shall be when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and the morning bread to the full, that the Lord hears complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. There's a lot of words called complaints in this little passage. All right. Now Moses spoke to Aaron, saying to all the congregation of children of Israel, come near to the Lord, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. When did the cloud appear? Immediately they left Egypt. But they didn't remember the cloud. It's only been weeks. Weeks. They never remembered the cloud. You've got to remember, in that desert, it could get up to 115 degrees. They never remembered the goodness of God covering them every day. They never remembered the fire of God keeping them warm by night. They didn't remember that. Well, what they remembered was what they wanted. Amen? God owes me something. Why have you done this to me, God? And isn't it strange, in our walks with God, we forget that I'm still here because of his grace. I've still got breath because of his goodness. Amen? I can still stand and walk and talk because of his goodness. And sometimes in my wilderness and my trials and my tests, I complain because I haven't seen God move when I expected him to move. When I expected him to move. You see, God is never late. And sometimes my mouth starts to complain because, God, you should have done this for me by now. Oh, God, you should have moved this for me by now. Oh, God, where is my time? While he's giving me breath, I haven't been grateful about his goodness toward me. I forgot that he's been covering me every day, and I forgot that he's put a guard at my doors, and I forgot that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. I forgot that he's made a way for me. I forgot my crooked path straight. I forgot that there's a promise of God beholding to me and that he wants me to enter in. I forgot that he's a protector of me. I forgot that his love toward me is never ending. I keep forgetting these benefits of God because I have an eye in the... Amen. So I heard the complaints of the children of Israel, verse 12, speak to them saying, at twilight you shall eat meat. They complained they didn't have any meat. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks. They wouldn't make very good vegetables. It's only been 2 weeks. They wanted meat. You shall eat meat, God says. And in the morning you shall be filled with bread. In other words, God's going to give you a double portion. No, I'll rephrase that. God's going to give you so much meat that you're going to get sick of it. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and the dew lay all around the camp. In other words, there was meat and there was manna. How much meat did God supply? Numbers 11:31. Now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought the quail from the sea and fluttering near the camp. About a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on that side. And it was a half a meter deep. You want meat? You're going to eat meat. God hears our complaints. Amen. And the children of Israel got more than what they thought. And they went out and they thought, oh, this is good. And they stored up, but there was still quail left at the end of that day. And they went, oh, we don't want any more meat. And guess what God says? You're going to have more meat. You know, the parent says to their children, eat your veggies. And you will keep eating until you are full. Amen. So, the people complained. And we have a thing of forgetting the goodness of God in the midst of my wilderness. We sometimes forget that God is always making room for me and made a way of escape for me in the midst of my... Egypt speaks of a place of slavery, a place of imprisonment, a place of captivation, and God set the captive free. We had a prophetic word this morning. The chains are broken. Amen. But what happens is, because we get caught in our now and we don't see God move in my now, I reflect, not on vision. I reflect on what I've missed out on. And the devil comes to whisper. He whispers. The word complain comes from two words, the root word, com, which means together. Plain is a French word that means strife, envy, bitterness, pain, etc., etc., etc. You'll get it later on. But complain, the word com is together. To complain, your head and your mouth come in agreement. I'm going to say that again. You don't need someone to complain. Your head and your mouth will come in and speak. Because out of the abundance of your mouth speaks. Amen. My mouth, therefore, is a reflector or a mirror of what is inside of me. And that usually builds before my mouth speaks. Amen. Life and death are in the power of your... Death always lines itself to death. Life always lines itself to life. Amen. Sweet and bitter water should come out of the same fountain. That's what James says. Therefore, when I complain, I've had a mindset shift. The voice has begun to speak to me. And I'm complaining about what God has done. Or I'll rephrase that. That I perceive the lack of what God has done. And I have forgotten the goodness of God. I've forgotten the cloud by day. I've forgotten the sun by night. I've forgotten that I get up every morning, go out and go to the fridge and just have a piece of toast. I've forgotten that I can go and buy some steak. I've forgotten whatever's in my pocket belongs to Him. I've forgotten that I can drive a car. I forget the benefits or the goodness of God because I have something and another voice speaking to me. And hear me, when your thought life speaks negative, there is a devil, there is an assignment from hell that will reinforce your negativity. You say, where do you get that from? When Cain sinned and he killed his brother, before he killed his brother, he got a thing called an attitude. Do you remember the attitude? He got an attitude because God didn't respect his offering. It wasn't because it was grain, because God was into grain offerings. It wasn't because of the grain. It was because it wasn't his best. So God said to him, why has your countenance? You see, when your countenance falls, something's happening internally. His countenance fell, God saw his what? His countenance. God saw his countenance. Why has your countenance fell? For sin, the old King James says it quite nicely, lieth at the door. But that why literally means this, like a tiger waiting to pounce. It is just looking for an opportunity of weakness where you're not attentive so it can pounce. And the devil comes like a ring, waiting to pounce on what comes out of my mouth. Amen? Because if he can get me into a place of negativity, I will start doing what the children of Israel did and complain in my wilderness. I'm going to rephrase that. It was a wilderness because they made it a wilderness. But in God's eyes, it was a journey to a promise. Because they're not in the wilderness. In fact, they didn't even thank him for the shoes they wore. They didn't even thank him for the clothes that they wore because they never had to replace them. They did. Nowhere in the Bible will you see that they thank Jesus for the cloud. Nowhere in the Bible will you ever read that they thank Jesus or the Father for the Son that protect them or the fire at night. Nowhere will you read where Israel thanked God for the clothes that never wore out or the shoes that never wore out or even the they got or the water from the rock. Not once will you ever see a statement that they thank God for those things. Because they forgot about the goodness of God. And when we're going through our walk, you and I will go through seasons of wilderness. Come on now. You will experience wilderness, but your wilderness is actually to a promise. Amen. It doesn't have to be a wilderness. It reflects on how I think. How I think. Because as a man thinks, it's how I think. Moses never uttered that word. How I think. And if I think and align myself up to how he is, I'll thank him for the sun. I'll thank him for the cloud. I'll thank him for the shoes I wear. I'll thank him when I can't see anything happening and I'm just keeping on walking, knowing one extra step. A step to the promise. I'll thank him that I can get up in the morning. I thank him that I can go to sleep at night. I thank him that his angels surround me. I thank you that by his stripes I am healed. I thank him that he's given me health and he's blessed me. I'll thank him for the things I cannot see. I'll thank him for my children, for yet me and my house shall serve the Lord. I will thank him in season, out of season, up, down, in, out, round about, I will thank him for everything in my life. Because the minute I start doing that, God's getting glory. Your God is getting glory. And if he gets glory, he'll take me to the next level of glory. Amen. Where's my book? That I experienced from my yesterday is a preparation for my today. Every past experience is just a preparation for you move into your now. And your now is your tomorrow. Amen. But what we do, we forget to celebrate our now. if I just celebrate vision and not see what he's doing in today, I'll forget about his goodness. And I, what can happen is I start getting lethargic in my spirit. I start getting lethargic in my spirit because I'm not experiencing what I expect to experience because I forgot to celebrate my today. Amen? So unless my mind and perspective is adjusted and aligns to the promise of vision he has given me, my now sight, my now moment can rob me of seeing his goodness. Now faith is the... And now faith. Amen? If I live so futuristic or so past tense, I will not walk in now faith. Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. All right to have a hope, good to have vision. But it's not have to live in my now. I've got to start thanking him in my now. I've got to start thanking him for where I'm at. I've got to thank him for my wife. I've got to thank him for my kids. I've got to thank him. I've got to have a grateful attitude and a thankful attitude because when I move into my tomorrow, he's bringing me into another level of glory. Amen. But if I refuse to allow my now to cause my head to look down instead of looking up, I refuse to allow my mouth and my mind to bear fruit and I'll bear the fruit of complaint. Do you know there's a fruit of complaint? either make the tree good and its fruit will be, or make the tree and its fruit will be. Who does the making?
We do.
It says either you make the tree. How do I do that? What is coming out of my mouth? What is coming out of your mouth? Is it life? Is it giving? Is it goodness? Amen. The more I speak the goodness of God, the more it renews my mind. He is good. I was having breakfast with a man this week, and I said to him, doesn't matter what happens, he is good. Whether I think it's good or not, it changes not the thing about God. He is good. It doesn't matter if I feel good or not, he is good. It doesn't matter up, I feel down, I feel depressed, I feel happy, I feel joyous, I don't feel joyous. It doesn't matter what life's throwing at me. It doesn't change the fact your God is good. Amen? And I need to celebrate his goodness, not what I perceive, his goodness. And when I celebrate his goodness, I'm enthroning him above my problem. Are you with me? But if I refuse to allow my now to cause my... I've done that. I've got to thank him for my cloud by day. I've got to thank him for my fire by night. I've got to thank him for the manna every day. But I've got to thank him for the water he gives me freely. I've got to thank him for the clothes of my shoes. I've got to thank him for being me in the midst of my... I've got to thank him. I've got to remind myself, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. In the midst of my desert, he's still there. Even though I can't feel him, he's still there. Even though I don't see him move, he's still there. He's still there. Because he doesn't leave me. He's still there, and I will thank him whether I feel him or whether I don't, whether I experience him or whether I don't. My mouth will be full of gratitude and goodness and the thankfulness of the goodness of God. Amen? Moses gives us an insight in embracing my now moment when God, regardless of what now might look like, knowing that the now will be my tomorrow in the process. Joseph was in a prison. Did he give God thanks? He did. Down in a dungeon with lions. Did he give God thanks? He did. Elijah was in a wilderness. Did he give God thanks? Eventually. David was in a cave. Did he give God thanks? Yes, he did. Peter was in a storm. Did he give God thanks? Well, God heard him. Help! Save me! And he lifted up his hand and thanked. He didn't lift up his hand again. Paul was in a prison. Did he give God thanks? Yes, he did. They understood it was not about their situation, but it was about the situation that he was with them in the midst of their dilemma. He is with you. I don't care what you're going through right now. Your God is with you. And if you're going through something right now, hear me, He has graced you to get over it. He's empowered you to overcome it. Amen. What I can't afford to do is get an attitude and forget His goodness so my mouth starts to complain. Complain. Every one of them men I spoke about just then understood the goodness of God. And it lifted them and the anointing and the glory of God. So much so, Paul could sing a song and the prison doors was open. Peter was starting to sink. Anyone ever experienced a sinking feeling? Help! But he's never too late. Amen. And where you can't walk, he will carry. Anyone ever been in a cave and you think, well, how am I going to get out of this? And the lions are nipping at your heels. And in the midst of that, Daniel had to keep his peace. How can a man keep his peace when lions are surrounding you? Know who's with you. Are the three boys in the midst of a fire? Whether God delivers me or not, I refuse not to thank Him for His good. I refuse to worship that. I refuse to be swayed from that. And in the midst of the fire, God met them. And one likened unto the fourth man stood. Not even the smell of smoke was in their clothes. And He delivered them. Because in the midst of their fire, they were giving Him thanks. He needs to keep me seeing that in my wilderness, that it's Your goodness that's in the midst of it. All that keeps me. He keeps me in the midst of my prisons. He keeps me in the midst of my dungeons. He keeps me in the midst of my wildernesses and my caves, my accusations, my rejections. He keeps me. He keeps me in my pain. He keeps me in my brokenness. He even keeps me in my doubts. And He reminds me of His goodness. Amen. Because it's the goodness of God that will bring a leading to something. It leads me into an area that will make me change. His goodness, His love, His mercy, His grace, just the knowledge of Him keeping me leads me to a place where I can let go and let God be God. It leads me to a place of repentance, to turn away from those things that I didn't think I could turn away from. To walk away from those things that I thought I couldn't have the power to walk from. To stand in the midst of my storm, even though everything against me is pushing me. But keep on standing. Doing all to stand. Stand. Amen. A lot of times my complaining comes from an expectation of God to do things when I expect Him to do it. But most of the time, my situation of which I complain about is a result of my own decision-making. Do you know that? Do you know a lot of times the reason I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing is not so much an attack from the devil. A lot of times it's because I've made a stupid decision. Is there a consequence for sin? Do you believe that? Well, I'm going to give you some revelation free. There's a consequence for your decisions. Whether good or bad. That's why Proverbs says wisdom is the principal thing. And a lot of times we supersede God's wisdom by our own goodness Look, I'll give you a for instance. In the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy, when Moses recalled the 12 spies to go into the promised land, God never intended the 12 spies to go into the promised land. It was not God's plan. The leaders that were set in place came to Moses and said this, let us send 12 men into the promised land, buy it out. It was always God's intent for the whole of Israel just to walk into the promised land. It seemed good to Moses. It's a good idea. Let's do it. And they did. But a good idea is not a God idea. And a lot of us have some good ideas. But you better submit that good idea to God. Otherwise, you'll get the wrong perspective. Not all good ideas are God ideas. Therefore, it's imperative for me to submit my ways to the Lord. Is that what the Bible says? And He will then direct my... But a lot of times I run with my good ideas. And if it's not a God, you and I better be man enough to bear the consequence. The consequence for Israel was they came back and what did they do? They complained. Only two didn't. And so God says in Deuteronomy that He will not allow those who murmured and complained to enter the promises of God. Stuck in their now experience, not experiencing vision. They were stuck in a now experience, not experiencing vision, because that's what complaining does. It keeps you stagnant in your walk with God. It keeps you in a place of negativity so you won't push through your own flesh and its desires to get into the promise and purpose of God. And so I start negating the promises of God by my negative and complaining. And I'm stuck in a now moment, but tomorrow it won't be a now moment. It'll be your past. And people, hear my heart this morning. There is people in Christendom that are stuck in their past because they refuse to forgive. They refuse to let go of bitterness. They refuse to let go of situations and circumstances and other stuff. In fact, they're disappointed in God because God didn't do what they thought He should do. And the reality is, they forgot His goodness. And instead of giving them thanks, a murmuring spirit, your New Testament, comes out of their mouth. And when you start to murmur, guess what God's doing? He's listening. And I'm negating the promise. Bad part about that is this. Moses got caught in the same scenario. God said to Moses, because they complained. Not many times they didn't, really. But I thank God He left it in the book so I can learn. They complained that there was no water. And God said to him the second time, go to the rock and speak to the rock. And what did he do? He smashed it. He struck it. And God says to him, for this you will not enter the promised land. Now, if anyone should have a complaint, it should have been him. He was leading 3.5 million whingers, complainers. I mean, that man was a true pastor. And he said, I didn't bear these. These are not from my bosom, God. And God says, well, all right, I'll get you along. I'll give you some men to help you with the burden. But he never relieved him. And Moses never said to him, and here's the temptation. In the midst of their complaint, God says, my friend, Because was he your friend? He spoke to him as face to face. Moses, my dear friend, sit over there and I'll just finish it off. And I'll start with you. Talk about tempting. I mean, God wasn't tempting him, but everything in my, he had to bite his tongue. And he reminded God of God's goodness. And God relented. The goodness of God. Sometimes I've just got to check what's coming out of my mouth. Well, how am I speaking to my wife? How am I speaking to my husband? What am I speaking about my kids? How am I speaking about God? How am I speaking about His church? What am I New Testament. I shall be judged for every word that comes out of my mouth. What he means that is, I'll be held accountable. And that word idle, if you look it up in the Greek, literally means this, unemployed. It's not giving life to anything. In fact, it's drawing from. Amen. Exodus 33, 12 and 19 says this. Let's read it. Let's read it together. I didn't put it up there. Exodus 33. And I'll finish on this. And Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. And know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and I might consider that this nation is your people." Now I'm taught, he's speaking the goodness. They had just built golden calf. And now he's reminding God about his goodness. And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In verse 1 to 6, he actually said, "My presence won't go with you." But God, Moses reminded God of his goodness. And he said to him, "Is your presence?" Then he said to him, "If your presence does with us, do not bring us up from here." What Moses was saying is this: God, without your presence, I have no future. Without your presence, I can step forward. Without your presence, I might as well stay here. Without your presence, I have no vision. Father, I need you. That's what he was saying to him. Father, I need you. He says, "Don't take me up any further if you don't come with me." And it wasn't because Moses was fearful. It was because he knew that the Father was all powerful. "Don't take me any further. If you're not coming with me, don't move me. I need your presence. I need your presence." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken. You found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." Isn't it amazing, talking about the goodness of God? Another level of relationship comes in, because you're not seeking his hands. You're seeking his face. And he said to him, he didn't ask him for gold. Didn't ask him for camels. Didn't even ask him for a plot of land. He said, "Please, Show me your glory. Show me your presence. Let me experience the power and the weight of your presence. And he said, I will make all my what? Oh God. When you celebrate his goodness, when you remind yourself of his goodness, you're in his glory. Now we sing songs, show me your glory. Today he's showing it to you every day. We have meetings, glory meetings. Oh God, give me, just let your glory fall. Glory to hear. He's actually inside of you. Nothing against having me. I'm not trying to pull down people. But if you really know the glory, it doesn't matter what wilderness the devil pulls at me. God is the lifter of my head. And he wants me to behold him. And as I look to him, he'll order my steps. I don't know where I'm going, Father. I don't know what to do next. Just keep looking. I don't know. Should I go through this door? Just keep looking. What do we do now? Just keep looking. And he'll make things. Peter in prison. Get up. He thought he was having a dream. Go through the door. Door opens. There's an iron gate. It's up. Someone's house. John Mark's house. Who's that? Dorcas? Is it Doris? Or Dorcas or something? Comes down. It's his angel. God will do things so supernaturally. God will do things so supernaturally if I keep my eyes on him and not look at it as a wilderness, but look at it as part of my journey to the promise of God. Amen. Bible says the storms will come. It says when the storm comes. Never says if. It says when. On the house built land, and the house built on the rock will experience a storm. When the storm comes, all of us will experience a wilderness. But I can make my wilderness an opportunity. Amen. To behold the glory of the Lord. My last slide. Put my last slide up, son. Psalm 31 verse 19 says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Psalm 107 is awesome regarding his. Psalm 107 verse 8, 15, 21 and 31 says, oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his what? Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Ephesians 5 and 9 says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all what? Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is in all what? Goodness. You want to grow the fruit of the Spirit? Think on his goodness. Think on his goodness. You will not have to try and be the fruit. Oh God, give me peace. Lord, I'm determined to walk in peace today. Shandai, Hyundai, Suzuki, Mitsubishi. And then all of a sudden something happens. Ah, I'm in peace, 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 peace. No, that's not peace. That's not peace. All right? That's the complaint between Suzuki and Mitsubishi. No, that's not peace. That's you trying to make an effort. And it's your flesh. And your flesh will fail. Peace is this. Doesn't matter how much the boat raises. You're in my boat. Doesn't matter what happens, Jesus. They can turn the boat upside down. You'll rescue me. That's peace. It goes beyond, under. Let's stand this morning. I hope you got something out of this. As the people of God, let our mouths be wells of life. Amen. Here's something I learned, man. In fact, my dad taught me this. Good Catholic he was. Till he got saved. Said this. If you've got nothing nice to say, say nothing. Zip your lip. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we as a people this morning come before you. And we ask you to help us remind ourselves of your goodness. And when our mouths might want to speak, help us to think. And God, we negate every assignment of hell that tries to put me in a negative mindset of complaint. I refuse to allow complaint to be part of my vocabulary. Help me. And help my spirit man to be a well of life. Help me. Help me to see my wilderness as an opportunity to see your goodness. Help me to experience, Father, and understand that you're with me always. My cloud during the day and my fire at night. You're the one who will never let your children beg for bread. You'll make room for me. Whatever the world says, it doesn't matter. What matters is what you've said. And your truth will make me free. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that every chain is broken. I thank you whom you've set free is Eid. I thank you no longer call me a servant, but you call me a friend. I thank you for that. And let me have an attitude of gratitude all the days of my life, that I can come into your presence and give you glory, that you might lead me from a glory to a greater glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. He's raising up an army that will walk in rank, that speak the same thing, that think the way, and it's all about him. Amen. Have a great week. If you need prayer this morning, I'll stay here and pray with you for the things I've mentioned, that is.